AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. Fred Rogan.
You know the one thing you never do? You never mess with the big dog.
Rodney Pete.
Let me in. Let me do my thing.
This is Rogan and Rodney. This hour of Rogan and Rodney is sponsored by Duthie Power Services, Southern California's generator experts. Go to DuthiePower.com. That's DUTHIE.com. Rogan and Rodney can be streamed and podcasted wherever you are on the iHeartRadio app. Now your hosts.
I'm ready. It's game day, Fred. I'm so ready.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete.
Let's go, Duthie Power Hour. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570, LA Sports. All right, the Dodgers at home against the Phillies tonight. Probably happy to get out of the East, wouldn't you say, Rodney?
A little bit. And there's stumbles. And Pittsburgh, I think, you know, a team that they, on paper, to dominate. I think came out a little flat in game one and ready to come home in game three.
You know, after the game yesterday, I listened to a little bit of Dodger talk. Tim Cates.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing how people look at this. Amazing. The Dodgers are in trouble. You got to move people. You got to change the lineup. These guys got to come around. Muncy's got to hit. Bellinger. I'm thinking, my God, you just got started here. Relax. Settle down. Best team in baseball. It's okay if they lose a couple of games. They're not going undefeated. They're not only going to lose 10 games the whole year. They're going to lose a few more. It's all right. And I'm the guy, the king of panic. And I'm saying, just relax here.
Yeah, you are the king of panic.
Just relax.
They got 50 more games to lose.
Yeah, so just take it easy. It's okay. Everything's fine. They're going to have an off the game. They're going to have two off games. Well, it's the first time the Pirates have won a series from them, and who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? Does it really matter? Do you think a team from 3 years ago, well, they beat them that series. Well, who cares? It's a different team. Relax. Everybody settle down.
Well, I think people have the idea every time the Dodgers play, when you look at this team and they're so excited about winning a championship, that their mind automatically goes to October. Automatically goes to, okay, I'm playing October in my mind, even though it's May. So I want this team to be hitting on all cylinders right now, which they're not. No team really is. As good as certain teams may be playing out there, that's not going to last either. And as bad as certain teams are playing right now, that's not going to last. It's a full season. But I think people in their mind, when they see the Dodgers on paper, we should be blowing people out. We should sweep the Pirates. We should sweep the Rockies. We should sweep every team. We should, yeah, almost go undefeated. There may be some losses here and there, but that's not the way it works. It's an ebb and flow. Every team out there has some players on it that can play. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the major leagues.
Now they're not good. Sorry, Rodney. I said they're not going to sweep those teams, but I guess a lot of people are concerned because they've lost series against Arizona and against Colorado and against Pittsburgh. It's like if you at least win series against bad teams, you'll drop one here or there, but losing series to them, I think, is an issue for a lot of fans, albeit I know that it's early. And it's not an issue for me. I recognize that. But a lot of fans, you talk about cleaning up and beating the teams you're supposed to beat. Fred, you brought this up at one point last week. Knowing how nip and tuck it was last season and the coming down to the wire against the Giants, every game matters, especially against bad teams. And so if you can collect wins against them, you should. And so I think fans are concerned that they've lost or have losing records, at least early on, against some of the worst teams in the majors.
I'm going to worry about it at the end of July.
Okay.
That's when I'll start worrying about it. End of July.
July is the day. End of July?
Yeah. I mean, as they head into August. Here's the thing, Rodney, and you just said
Wait, Fred, didn't you the guy who said that, you know, every game matters?
Yeah, but it's not like they're getting swept.
So yeah, they lose a series. To a Pittsburgh is, I see why people get concerned. I'm not concerned.
Right, they're not getting swept. And you just said it. You just said it better than anybody.
Yeah, I believe it.
People sitting here are thinking, okay, geez, they got swept by Pittsburgh, but I need them firing on all cylinders for October.
Yeah.
You know what? You need them firing on all cylinders in October, in September. If you're going to lose, lose now. You don't want to lose, but if you're going to do it, that's okay. It's all right right now.
Yeah. But I think also that they're looking up and going, we've been through last few years, even last year, you mentioned it several times, that every game counts because you come down to one game at the end of the season that can matter or mean the division for the Dodgers or someone else. We had, you know, 163. Yep. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's things in our recent history that people are looking up going, we don't go through that again. We don't want to play that last series against whoever we play, having to win or having to win 3 out of 4 or 2 out of 3 in that last series. Let's take care of business now. I get all that, but it's still early. It's still early. It's there's some new guys and new positions, and it's going to take some time. But I'm not at all. I'm with you. I might not say end of July. I'm more like end of June. Let's see where we are before All-Star break, because July is a little late in the game to kind of start try to turn it on.
I hear you. I hear you. I'm just saying this. One game can make the difference. Absolutely right. I believe that in my heart. You know what? That one game is not the one of the two they lost in Pittsburgh. There's still a lot of time here. So Dodger fans, relax.
Yes.
Know you're passionate. Know you want them to win every game. You know, relax. They'll be fine. They have to be fine. To be honest with you, there's no alternative. They'll be fine because they have to be fine. Because the team is simply too good. So that's the Dodgers. They've got the Phillies tonight. David Vassay is going to join us coming up in the next segment. Now, also want to point out, Dylan Hernandez wrote this in the Times. And here's the thing, Dodger fans. Dodgers and Angels are in different leagues. I'm not saying you have to love the Angels if you're a Dodger fan. Not suggesting that. Please, don't mistake what I'm saying. But I am saying this, and Dylan Hernandez wrote it, the Angels are really fun to watch. That doesn't mean you're not a Dodger fan. That doesn't mean you're rooting for the Angels. I didn't say that. But the Angels are fun to watch. They are a fun team to watch. They're pretty exciting. And given everything they've gone through down there with that franchise and their lack of winning, it's fun. I'm happy for them, Rodney. I think it's great. And they really are a lot of fun.
Yeah, they got some superstar players on that team that are fun to watch. Even Rendon hitting the ball left-handed and hitting it out of the park. I think, you know, what they're doing, and obviously the excitement and has always been there surrounding Mike Trout. And I think the hope was that just get the kid some help so he can make the playoffs. It'd be so exciting to see Mike Trout finally in the playoffs. You know, and I think that's what everybody's wishing for. And then you bring another superstar in like Ohtani, who has taken the world by storm, and he's living up to all the hype. Yeah, they're very exciting to watch and to see play, and it's good for baseball, great for Southern California, great for Orange County. And, yeah, why not ride that out as long as possible? I have no problem with the Angels being good and the Dodgers being good in the same year.
Yeah, why would you? They're in different leagues.
Yes.
All right, if they get to the World Series, we'll have a different conversation if you're a fan.
Well, you're rooting for them both to get. I am. Wouldn't you root for them both to get to the World Series?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you didn't sound that with conviction, Fred.
No, you would, but then you have to, you got to cut ties and you got to go for one or the other.
Of course.
Right. Then you have to make a decision. But they're fun.
Do you? Is there really a decision to make?
Not in my mind.
Okay, good.
Not in my mind. I'm saying for some people there might be.
Yeah. Kevin might be.
Kevin may have to make a decision.
Yes.
And Kevin would not state it publicly. Kevin would not.
The man just got married. Stop putting him on the spot, Fred.
Yeah, I understand. He would not say it publicly. Okay, Laker fans. So a couple of things we want to talk about. First, Bill Plaschke was on the Doug Gottlieb show, and he talked about something he heard about trading LeBron James and holding on to Russell Westbrook.
I've heard that Phil would like LeBron traded. I've just heard that. But I've got nothing to back that up. No on-the-record stuff to back that up. But I think Phil, I do know that Phil would like them to keep Westbrook and try to make it work with him.
All right, when you hear that, what do you think, Rodney?
Ludicrous. I heard, but I got nothing to back that up. That's what I hear. I love some Plaschke. But he may have heard that from somebody. Who knows who it is, you know? But no, I think it's remotely and ludicrous to think that they're going to trade LeBron and keep Russell Westbrook to make this work. Maybe there's a reason why Phil has not been successful in the front office. Greatest coach ever, but front office-wise, had a lot of misses.
Yeah, he struggled. I think it's safe to say he struggled in New York.
Yeah.
Didn't go so well.
Didn't go so well.
Yeah. So that leads to, and we're going to open the phone line. First, Chris Broussard will be on at 1. We'll get into it with him. And then next hour, we'll open the phone line. So I'd like you to consider this now. So when we open the phone lines, everybody be ready to go. And I think it'll be pretty interesting today when we do it. Laker fans, you're going to get it. It's coming. It's coming, and you're going to get it. You're going to suffer it. You're going to feel the pain. You have to. Given the way the team is constructed, you just have to. When do you want your pain? Do you want it now? Okay, we'll trade LeBron. We'll get rid of AD. We'll keep Westbrook, but then his deal's up, and we're going to just go through the pain to get to where we need to be. Or do you say, you know, we've got LeBron. Maybe AD will show up healthy. Hopefully, fingers crossed. And we're going to go for it. We just go for it. Now, we're not going to be in the conversation to win it at the beginning. But anything can happen during the year. We know if you get to the playoffs, you get in a tournament, anything can happen. If you have those two, you've always got a shot.
Yep.
So which way would you rather have it? Because you're going to get it. You're going to get the pain. It's going to happen. If you keep it status quo, when you go, well, every year we've got a shot. If everybody stays healthy and we get lucky, okay, you still might not win. Granted, that's kind of the way it is for everybody, but the expectations for the Lakers are higher, especially if you have LeBron. So how do you want it? We got a shot. Could end up in no man's land. And remember, in the NBA, when you're in the middle, you're nowhere. You're in no man's land. Or do you say, well, it's coming anyway. I need it. You know, the doctor says, I got to have my tooth pulled. It's going to come out. I'll need a root canal if I don't do it. I can sit here and wait, but it's not going to get any better. I might as well just get it done now and get that replacement tooth. Which way do you want it?
Like, when you say that, do you mean, okay, we're gonna get that replacement tooth? Are you saying, okay, clean house, get rid of everybody? LeBron goes, Westbrook goes, AD goes, all three of them go.
They'd probably have to
start over.
Yeah, you'd have to start over.
Because if you're keeping one, you're still hoping that we can build around that one.
Right, and the one you could build around the best would be LeBron. But even given the year he had, and it was spectacular, he didn't impact winning as much. The only way he impacted winning is if he didn't play, they were going to lose. But if he played,
guaranteed to lose.
Yeah, they're guaranteed to lose. If he played, there was no guarantee they'd win.
Right.
So how do you want it?
Interesting to see the stat of supporting cast based on him. I know everybody wants to talk about, you know, Rob Parker being the number one. It doesn't impact win. I'd be interested to see what he did this year base and versus the supporting cast that he had this year versus other supporting cast that put up similar numbers. You know what I mean? Because everybody wants to focus on LeBron. Well, the supporting cast is different. It all depends on the supporting. I don't care if you got a superstar scoring 50 a night.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that over the history, it's not worked that way. You know, going back to Wilt Chamberlain scoring 80 points a night. You know, early days of Michael Jordan scoring 50 a night didn't work until they got other guys involved. The others started playing and pulling their weight. It didn't matter. So it'd just be interesting to see what that impact is and what the impact last year for the Lakers were with role players and the supporting cast.
Okay, next hour we'll open the phone lines. We'll talk to Chris Broussard, then we'll open the phone lines and hear from you on that. Bottom of this hour, play a little Who Dis. 866-987-2570. So if you want to play, we'll give you a cue to call. You jump on here. Up next, David Basset joins us, and we'll get ready for the series against the Phillies.
This is your shot to win $1,000. Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website, Grand. That's Grand. Enter it now.
AM570LASports.com.
Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much, yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Bro, yo, it's Cruz, J. Cruz, Cruz Show, Rio 92.3, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, let's get back to it, here we go.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect. You ready, Ron? I'm ready.
Come on, let's go.
Girl, I must.
Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, let's go, on a Throwback Thursday, beautiful.
Yo.
All right, well, we've got the Dodgers back home, and that means all was forgiven, and David Basset was allowed to return to Southern California. Dave joins us now. Hello, Dave.
All is forgiven, right, for losing to the Pirates in a series for the first time since 6 years?
What's the big deal with that?
I mean, the Dodgers have lost series to lesser teams. Those are the only teams they've lost series to, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, and the Pirates. But I think we're starting to see that the Diamondbacks are a really good pitching team, but the other two, I mean, come on.
Yeah, what are we doing, Dave? What's going on? Let me go back to Pittsburgh and lay an egg like that.
Yeah, you know what? It's, you know, you can understand Ryan Pepiot having the nerves yesterday, but the offense is what is concerning. Jose Quintana looked like Jose Quintana from 10 years ago.
Yes, he did.
The first game. And yesterday, I know Dylan Peters has a bright future, but the Dodgers have really good hitters. They shouldn't be shut down by Dylan Peters.
No, I understand that. And, you know, it kind of harkens back to days of yesteryear where it was feast or famine. They either get you or they don't. And in these games, they just didn't. Personally, Rodney and I talked about this on the air. I don't think there's anything to worry about. Give it a little time
here. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, why do you feel that way, Fred? Can you tell me which Dodger hitter has been consistently good all season out of all these great players that you were hyping up?
Yeah, what I'm saying is, Dave, it's very early. It's very, very early.
As Yogi Berra used to say, Fred, it's getting late early.
It's not.
And when you're in a division like the... And it's not the division that it was even 3 or 4 years ago, Fred. Every team in the NL West is above 500. You got the Giants and Padres right on your heels if you're the Dodgers. We saw what the Giants did last year. There were many people, including yourself, that were continuing to say that the Giants were going to fade, and they ended up winning 107 games. The Padres pitching might be the best rotation in the National League right there with the Dodgers and Mets. So they're not going anywhere. They have a surplus of starting pitching, plus they're going to be getting Fernando Tatis Jr. back, and who knows what kind of trade they'll be making at the deadline to boost their offense. So you could continue to say that, but it's a little disconcerting when you have a guy like Chris Taylor who has struck out 20 times in his last 33 at-bats. If his name was Cody Bellinger, I'm sure the whole show would be about the sky is falling. But it's Chris Taylor, and nobody seems to bat an eye that he struck out 20 times in his last 33 at-bats.
Yeah, I think they're batting an eye. I think some people are batting an
eye. Did you guys realize that?
Yeah, I did. When watching that game yesterday, and he looks awkward at the plate right now. Doesn't have the same confidence, but, you know, he won't show it outwardly, but internally I'm sure he does. But, Dave, does it feel like a little bit – you know, you mentioned the hitting, because we went through this a little bit last year where we kept waiting for the bats to pick up, and that lineup, oh my God, it's murderer's row, the lineup. The only one that was really pretty consistent was Corey Seager most of the year. Hopefully we don't go through the same thing, because you would think with this lineup that one or two guys could be cold. It could be, you know, like you mentioned, Chris Taylor could be cold, and Max Muncy also is very cold. But you got Freddie Freeman and Mookie and Justin Turner and Trey Turner. They'll not all those guys gonna be cold at once, but they've been a lot of games.
Well, right now they are.
One. That's what I'm saying. They've had games where they've only scored one run or got three hits. What is? I mean, it's got to change, doesn't it?
You would hope so. I mean, these guys are too good, or at least have the track record of being that good. Mookie just started turning it on over the course of the last 10 games. Did not play yesterday, and when the Dodgers scored 11 runs, was the only Dodgers starter not to have a hit. So you hope he can continue what we saw the last 10 games previous to the second game against the Pirates. Freddie Freeman, to me, has been the most consistent. Trey Turner was driving in runs, being opportunistic, but still Dave Roberts was saying he did not feel like he was swinging the bat as good as he could, and all of a sudden now Trey Turner is not really swinging the bat at any point in time. So the Dodgers better hope that Will Smith, he's another guy that they were counting on, touted as the best hitting catcher in baseball, really hasn't done much, and the league has adjusted to him by not giving him a lot of fastballs. So he's got to make that adjustment now.
Do they sit Muncy for a while?
What's a while?
I don't know, a couple of games?
I mean, I don't think it would hurt, honestly. I feel like he's pressing and really fighting himself. I thought we saw that in the seventh inning yesterday when he took strike three on a changeup right down the middle. And I know he was not expecting another changeup from Will Crow, but when it's in your zone, you got to be swinging in that situation with two outs. And it seemed like he was trying to work a walk more than driving the runs. And that's a sign of a player that's not really confident in what he's doing right now because of the struggles. So Edwin Rios is a guy that's swinging the bat really well. Was it just a matter of the Dodgers finding the right matchups for him, or was it because he deserves more at-bats? And if they sit Muncy, maybe he's the guy that gets those at-bats for a couple of games.
Is Muncy, you think he's hurt, Dave? You think he's still lingering from the injury, or he's just not in a groove yet?
I just feel like he was dealing with the injury during spring training and trying to trust it mentally and emotionally early on. Dave Roberts has told us that he doesn't believe the elbow's affecting his struggles at the plate. So I guess you have to take the manager's word for it. He's not in Muncy's body. He doesn't know about the elbow. But certainly if Muncy's playing, you got to believe that the elbow's good enough to swing the bat, because when he did hit a home run at Dodger Stadium against the Giants, nobody brought up the elbow that day. So, you know, it's really – I'm not going to judge anybody's pain tolerance or how badly they're hurting, but – if he's on the field and playing and the manager is saying that, then you have to believe that he's past it.
You're playing. Nobody cares. You're in uniform on the field, Fred. Nobody cares if you're hurt.
Yeah. How about Julio Urias, Dave? It seems like he's battling himself every outing.
I wouldn't say that, Fred. In the last outing, probably was his least effective outing, the last three starts, but he still is keeping the Dodgers in the game, and he only gave up, a couple of runs, or not even a run that night. So, you know, he had a lot of traffic, gave up 11 hits, but was able to limit damage. I feel like the positive out of that start was his fastball velocity and the spin rate on the fastball was higher than what we've seen it all season long. So I wouldn't put too much stock in that. And if the Dodgers would have scored some runs for him, we wouldn't be focusing on those type of questions from Fred Rogan.
All right. What about Andrew Heaney, Dave? And what are they going to do with his rotation spot?
Well, Ryan Pepiot started yesterday, and I would imagine that the Dodgers can still send Pepiot down and have him available to start the doubleheader next Wednesday against the Diamondbacks, one of the doubleheader games against the Diamondbacks as the 27th man. So I would imagine they recall Garrett Clevenger today to have an extra reliever and then call back Pepiot to be the 27th pitcher next Wednesday. And as far as Heaney goes, it's still Tyler Anderson's spot. He's pitching tonight. This is a night that Andrew Heaney would start. So he's taken his spot and has done really well. And Heaney just started throwing in Pittsburgh back-to-back days, 90 feet off of flat ground. And Dave Roberts, when I asked him the other day, you know, whether or not he might be able to be available in the next month, and he said this is a process that's going to take at least 6 to 8 weeks. So he's not coming back anytime soon.
Dave, what about Trey Turner? I know he doesn't say a whole lot. You know, he just goes about his business. But it just doesn't feel like he's – you know, at least having the impact that he normally has. And I know a lot of guys, you say have a lot of guys on the team, but for him particularly, anything going on with him?
No, nothing's going on with him, Rodney. He's just chasing a lot of pitches outside of the strike zone. Not down, but he's chasing a lot of pitches away from him. And he's got to be able to, maybe he's trying too hard as well. He sees the way other guys are going and hitting in that three spot yesterday, leading off with Mookie getting the day off. Maybe he's trying to do too much. I mean, all of these guys have got to go back to what Mookie told me on opening day and to remind themselves, yeah, you've all been the man at some point in time in your career, but there's a lot of good players in this lineup, and you can't try to do too much. And I feel like we're starting to see a few of these Dodger hitters get in that trap where they're chasing pitches outside of the strike zone on certain nights. And I think part of this equation as well is that the Dodgers are so good at not chasing pitches outside the strike zone that they're not getting a lot of great pitches to hit. They're getting a lot of walks, and some of these pitchers have been effectively wild to try to stifle them.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks for bringing your wild thoughts on today. We always appreciate it.
There's always not just one reason to why a team or a player's not hitting, and I feel like there's a combination of those factors. So hopefully the Dodgers getting back home at Dodger Stadium, where they've only lost two games this year, will get back on track before they hit the road for their longest road trip of the season next week.
All right. Dave, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you again.
No problem, Rodney. Talk to you later.
All right. Who's ready for a little who dis? 866-987-2570. First caller, whoever you are. You want a piece of Rodney and Ronnie today? First caller, Kevin will pick you up, put you on the air, and you'll be good to go.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette.
Who is this guy?
This is who I am.
Who is this guy?
Who dis?
Who dis? Who dis?
All right, tonight is Max Muncy bobblehead night at Dodger Stadium. Our coverage starts at 6, and if you missed Instagram Live with Max, hosted by David Vasse, you can watch it on our Instagram at AM570LA Sports. It is brought to you by Navien Tankless Water Heaters. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com and watch it live on Instagram at AM570LA Sports. Okay, lines are lit, and I think we're going to have a...
Who wants some, Fred? Who wants some on this Throwback Thursday?
I think you're going to hear a familiar voice compete with you and Ronnie today. Kevin,
okay.
Finishing up. All the lines are lit, but this is the person who got in first, Julie in Silver Lake. Julie, how are you?
I'm fine, Fred. How are you? How are you, Rod?
Doing great, Julie. How you been?
Oh. Hey, thank you for being a voice of reason at this time of the season. It's still young. We still have to play the whole season. No time. I'm not worried. I trust the process.
Yeah, there's no reason to worry. Get settled in here, and then we'll worry about it. Ronnie, you ready?
Exactly.
I'm ready to go, guys. Let's play.
Okay, Julie. It's who dis. When you know it, shout it out.
Okay. Hopefully, I know it.
Well, we're gonna find out. I am a 5-time NBA All-Star.
Dwayne Wade.
No, senor!
Luka Doncic.
And it is no good.
Damian Lillard.
How about new?
I was the Pac-10 Freshman of the Year and Pac-10 Tournament MVP in 2009.
James Harden.
No good!
Trevor Ariza.
How about new?
Russell Westbrook.
No, senor!
Kevin Love.
And it is no good.
Ed O'Banion.
How about new?
My number, 10,
yes,
is retired at USC.
DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan, Rodney. Right on.
Boom.
There you go. You're on a board.
Never lost.
Never have.
Oh.
Your next clue. I was the first overall pick in the 2016 NFL Draft.
Jared Goff.
Correct, Rodney. Jared Goff.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang, bang.
Okay. Here's your next one. I'm a 4-time NBA All-Star, despite being a second-round pick in 2014.
Who is this guy?
Anthony Davis.
How about new?
I led Serbia to a silver medal finish at the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio.
Nikola Jokic.
Ronnie.
Nikola Jokic.
Jokic. Ronnie got it.
The Joker. Would the Joker have worked?
My nickname is the Joker was the final clue.
About to say the Joker, would that have worked?
Kevin, would we have taken that? No.
Everybody knows who the Joker is.
No, we would not have taken it.
No.
No.
What?
No, because of one of the clues.
If Allen Iverson was a, would you say the answer?
No, I would say Allen Iverson.
Take the answer.
If we said
Greek Freak, you wouldn't take that? Come on now. Everybody knows who the Joker is.
The Greek Freak might be easier because a lot of us bungle his name a lot. I feel like if a nickname is undeniable, I guess you should probably let it go.
Joker. You know who you're talking about when you say the Joker nowadays. You're not talking about Jack Nicholson.
With Batman.
Frank Gorshin.
You know, that's a good point, Julie. It could be the Joker from Batman.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Fred, good pull on the Frank Gorshin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Good character actor.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, well, fortunately, we didn't have to deal with that today because Ronnie got it.
Okay.
Way to go, Ronnie.
Here's the next one. I made 13 Pro Bowls in my Hall of Fame football career.
Eric Dickerson.
Nelson, no!
Joe Montana.
How about new?
Steve Young.
No good!
Terry Bradshaw.
Peyton Manning.
How about new?
Jim Plunkett.
And it is no good.
Ray Lewis.
Drew Brees.
Rodney Ray Lewis.
Ha-ha!
Wow. Impressive.
Running away with it on a throwback Thursday, Julie.
Never lost.
Hey.
It's all good.
But okay. No, wait a minute,
Julie. I'm just happy to play.
All right, but listen, you still got a shot to get on the board here. Two more questions.
I'm trying.
All right, Ronnie, you can still tie, by the way.
I'm trying, Fred. I'm trying.
Okay. I heard that somewhere before.
Hmm.
I'm a 5-time NBA champ.
Steph Curry.
Magic Johnson.
Rodney Magic Johnson.
Never lost.
Okay, well, one more question. Julie, you can still get on the board. Tie Ronnie for a second. I was selected to my first Pro Bowl this year.
Oh, Cooper Cup.
Rodney Cooper Cup.
I'm gonna wait until it's know your squad and it's the Dodgers. Then I'll call.
Okay.
Then I'll call
okay. You want some of that too, Julie? You want some of that?
Okay. I just like to talk to you guys. That's all.
We love to talk to you too, Jules.
Boy, that was a beatdown today, right?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
And you did it with conviction.
Yes, I'm feeling it. I was feeling it today, Fred. Enough is enough.
Is that how you look at it?
That's what they hope the Dodgers feel tonight against the Phillies. Just take it out on the Phillies.
Never lost.
Yep.
Pennsylvania's got it. Pennsylvania got us back there. We're going to get them in California.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Julie, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys, too. Thank you.
Next hour, Chris Broussard, NBA insider for 10 years, won half of the Odd Couple with Rob Parker, all NBA, Laker coaching search. Should they trade LeBron? When do you want the pain? We'll talk to Chris about it. Then we'll open the phone lines and we'll hear from you.
To supply.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon delight.
Oh, yeah. Hey, used to get up when you heard this, Ronnie. Used to get up. Today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Hypnotized by Notorious B.I.G. This song was the first single off the Brooklyn MC's Life After Death album, which was released in 1997. The song debuted at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in April of that year and topped the charts just weeks later. The song was nominated for a Grammy for Best Rap Performance in 1998, and Rolling Stone ranked it at number 30 on his list of the top 100 hip-hop songs of all time. Again, today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Hypnotized by Biggie, the Notorious B.I.G.
All right, we've got something big right now, Rodney.
Come on!
We're going to do it.
Come on!
All right. We appreciate you listening to the show. You know that. We really do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we have
we've
got to say thank you.
Thank you.
So we've come up with a way.
Let's do it.
Starting today and running through Monday. So starting today between now and 3.
Right on.
Running through Monday on this show.
Right on.
We have suite tickets to the Dodger game against Arizona. It's a noon start on Tuesday. What we want to do is give everybody a chance to win the tickets, come out, and hang with us at the game.
Oh, yeah. We going to the game?
Going to the game. So between now and 3... And then tomorrow during the show and Monday during the show, we're giving away suite tickets for Tuesday's game against the Diamondbacks. It's a noon start out at the stadium. We're off, Rodney, because the game is on.
Right.
So we want to invite our listeners out to hang with us during the game.
On Tuesday.
We're going to have food.
I might eat some tacos that Tuesday, Fred, at the stadium.
Why not?
Then they started a new thing out there called Taco Tuesday at Dodger Stadium.
They sure did.
Yeah, I think new vendors every single week.
Yeah.
For tacos. They're on Tuesday nights, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're going to have food in the suite.
Right on.
Right?
Don't eat it.
The food that we're
everybody
allowed to
else,
eat?
But Fred, you don't eat it.
Yeah.
I don't think Don will be there, so, you know, we can do what we want. But our listeners can certainly eat it.
Of course.
And the food's good.
Food is good.
So, anyway, that's the deal. We want you to come out and watch the game with us. Starting right now until 3 o'clock, we'll be giving away some tickets. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it Monday. It's our way of saying thank
you. Come on.
Thank you for being there. A part of the family.
We will be there in the suite, baby. Let's go.
From the court to the courtroom with Jacob Amrani.
Okay, here comes our good buddy Jacob Amrani for our weekly chat. And Jacob, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're good, Jacob. Jacob, right out of the gate, man. Come on. Come on, we fix this mess. Too many cooks in the kitchen, Jacob, with the Lakers. Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, I think, is asked, you know, for some tips. I think they're bringing Paul Westhead. Are they asking you for this coaching search there, Jacob and Ronnie?
Well, I'm still waiting for the call. You know what I'm saying? Because I think the room is too crowded already.
Go ahead, Fred.
You know, how do you feel about it, Jacob?
Listen, I mean, you know, hearing Jeannie come out and actually saying something and making sure that, you know, the fans know that she's concerned being the fourth highest, you know, payroll and not even the making of the playoffs, it's good to hear from them. You know, you do hear the fact that, you know, they are trying to, really interview a lot of different people. I mean, I think ultimately at the end of the day, I think Jeannie, has been an amazing owner, and she always, you know, counts on her inner circle. I think the most important thing at this particular moment is to make sure that we not only think about today, tomorrow, but we also think about the future, because, you know, whatever coach that comes in has got to be somebody who can actually, you know, coach LeBron and the All-Stars, but also be able to coach, you know, the development of players that we need, since we don't have any draft picks. And we really don't have much assets. So, you know, this is a major, major decision that has to be made. And, you know, I don't ever believe that it's a problem for you to consult, you know, consult the minds or the people that you trust. But I think you need to make sure that the ultimate decision is, you know, is made really not because you want somebody who's had ties with the Lakers, but somebody who's going to come in and actually take care of our problem.
Yeah, and Jacob, you know this firsthand, because even though we're talking about the Lakers, it's a business, right? And you run a business. And what comes out of your business is Jacob Amrani. Your name is on it. And so you want to make sure that everybody that works for you is having the same messaging. And so it just feels, you know, weird when you've got others that are inside and maybe outside as consultants having their own vision or voice in terms of the messaging. And what does that say to the confidence of fans that are out there when, you know, you've got voices from Phil saying, I would, you know, trade LeBron.
You've
got other ones saying this, and, you know, Magic is saying his thing. And so, you know, is it on Jeannie to say the one voice coming out of Laker camps that you can book it is me, and anything basketball operation-wise is Rob Pelinka? How important would it be for her to say that?
Well, I think it's huge, and I think ultimately she's said that she's not worried, you know, she's not afraid of making, you know, the hard decisions if this thing doesn't turn around. And at some point, you know, when any business starts to lose money and when you begin to have problems when you're spending into the luxury tax, no one's going to be safe. And I think at least that's what she was hinting at. I think it's really important to understand that ultimately you have to have experts making the decisions. And we all know a few years ago when everything happened with the fiasco of Magic going, you know, Magic not being with the team anymore, and they were trying to find coaches and they were trying to get Ty Lue, and then finally they brought in Frank Vogel. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we won a championship and I think everybody forgot about that. But you realize that there is, you know, potentially problems that'll come from it, because when you give up everything in your future in order to win now, you're going to pay the price at some point. I think at this particular moment, you know, we're going to see what kind of magic Rob can actually come up with, because he really has to be a magician based on the assets they have this year in order to bring in, you know, some better pieces that at least fit AD and LeBron. And after that, we need to see what coach gets put into place. Is it going to be a coach that's going to be a yes, you know, yes sir kind of person, or is it going to be a coach that's going to be given some level of, you know, authority to make decisions? And I think all of that, you know, is what we're all excited about to see. That's what the offseason is all about for us.
Okay, Jacob, our listeners love when you offer some advice when you're on. And I know you've talked about it in the past, but I was just wondering. Uber and Lyft accidents, they happen every day. You're not driving either vehicle. You're a passenger. Somebody is driving you. You're the third party when there's a rideshare accident. And I think, from what you've said in the past, it's easy for folks to get lost in the shuffle and not have their voice heard. What should you do if you are in an Uber or a Lyft accident?
Absolutely, and I'm so glad that you summarized that so well, Fred. I think, you know, if I'm not at the office one day, you could, you know, you could sit in for me
because you explained that
perfectly.
Oh, my goodness.
I think ultimately, you know, Uber and Lyft cases, there's a lot of multiple things that cross over. If you're an Uber driver or a Lyft driver and you're involved in an accident, then obviously you have certain rights if you're not at fault. And the good thing about being a driver is that if you have a passenger or you're en route in order to pick up a passenger, then you get a chance to be covered by a $1 million policy because of the fact that you are on the clock or per se you have a passenger in the car. The problem occurs is that when there is a passenger in the car and that passenger gets injured, sometimes they're just so freaked out that they stay in the car and they let the drivers work it out. And I always tell the passengers, you have a valid claim as a passenger. You're actually the only one who's fault-free. So I encourage the passengers that when, you know, the accident occurs, when it's safe, come out of the car, ask questions yourself, take pictures of both vehicles, the Uber car, the Lyft car you're in, as well as the other car. When they're exchanging information, ask them to take a picture of both your own driver as well as the other car's insurance information, you know, declarations, you know, whatever registration there is, just so you are not lost in the shuffle. And a lot of times, because we get hundreds and hundreds of calls for Uber and Lyft cases, people don't have the information. So we have to wait 30, 60, even 90 days to pick up a police report if a police report exists. So I guess, you know, it's important for people just to understand that you don't want to be a, you know, silent voice on the side. You want to get all the information so that once we're handling your case in terms of your injury, we can make the right claims for you so that you can be protected.
Best in the business, Jacob. Thanks for that. Thanks for coming on as always. You have a great week.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, there goes our good buddy, Jacob Imrani. He really is the best in the business.
Yes, he is, without question, Fred. Nobody right. better in town.
Call
Nobody.
Jacob.
You got Nobody, that right. Fred.
Rodney, you got that right.
I don't care who, talking to who, Jacob Imrani is the best in the business.
Well, he is, and we know that because we yes. both had people in accidents, and who's yes. the first person we called?
Him. Jacob Imrani. If I call him, you call him, Fred. You know, I'm not going to call some, you know, crazy person out there, some guy that I don't know. I'm calling the best in the business, which I did, and you did too.
And the funny thing is, when Jacob says he answers the phone,
he does.
He answers the phone. And when he says he'll get the car taken care of or he'll get you to a doctor if you need to,
100%.
He does. Everything we tell you he says, he does.
Yes.
That's why he's the best in the business. All right, you know what? Let's stop fooling around. Let's stop. Let's get serious.
Uh-oh.
Who's going to the Dodger game with us on Tuesday? 866-987-2570. All right, this will be our first pair of tickets we're giving away.
Okay. How many are we giving away?
How many? We're giving away 10.
10?
10 sets of tickets, which means
that's between now and when?
Monday.
That means 20 people?
20 people. 20 people that listen to the show.
Good Lord.
866-987-2570. It's your first chance to win. What caller number, Rodney?
Let's go number 9. That's what I played with, Fred.
Okay.